We begin this morning with a call to worship, a reading entitled Come Together in Praise and Thanksgiving by Mary J. Harrington, appropriate for today because it talks about mothers and also has a lot of imagery about singing for our music service. We come together today in praise and thanksgiving for the gift of life itself. Someone gave birth to us, and some of us have given birth. All of us have been mothered in our time. All of us have mothered. Let our time today be one of recognition that we arrive from so many places, joy and delight, wistfulness and longing and worry, unmet needs and unfulfilled dreams, loss and sorrow, loss and emptiness, loss and regret. All that life is made of, mothers are made of too. Today we sing the songs of so many, mothers who are single parents, foster parents, mothers who relinquished their young out of necessity, mothers who found their heart in adoption, mothers who left their children in a thousand ways, mothers who rejoice, and mothers who mourn. We sing the songs of the grandmother, the auntie, the classroom teacher, the Sunday school teacher, the babysitter, the neighbor with endless cookies and time. There is a kind of love we cannot live without. It is never too late, no matter our age or situation. We sing a song of gratitude for all the moments of being known, being cherished, being found. We'd like to light our chalice this morning with a song. It's number 362 in your hymnal. It's called Rise Up, O Flame. And the Sullivan family will light our chalice. So, Sullivans, you're welcome to come forward. And we'll sing this song, chalice lighting song, together. Two times.
Rise up, O flame, by thy light glowing, show to us beauty, vision, and joy. Rise up, O flame, by thy light glowing, show to us beauty, vision, and joy.
Excellent. That was just a little warm-up. So now we'll go into our opening hymn, which is number 191, Now I Recall My Childhood. We'll just sing verses 1 and 2. Please rise in body or spirit to join us and remain standing for our covenant and affirmation directly following the hymn.
Is the spirit of this church, and service its law. This is our great covenant, to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in love, and to help one another.
Below the skies, let words of
So today we have a message for all ages that is obviously accompanied by a song for our music service. And I spoke with Michelle about what she might say when talking about Mary and Jesus in particular. And she told me that one of her favorite lines when discussing biblical stories and biblical history is that some people believe that what's written down in the Bible is exactly true. They believe that it's exactly the truth and that the meaning that's in the Bible helps guide their life. And other people believe that these are stories that are designed to teach us lessons, that they may not be exactly true, or they might be partially true, or they might be mostly true, or they might even be fully true, but that their purpose is to teach us a lesson about our lives. So, while the youth choir comes up to get ready to sing their song, I thought this was a great way to think about our piece today, because what we're singing is a spiritual. Does anybody know what a spiritual is in music? Anybody have an idea? Feel free to shout it out. Adults can play too. So can the choir. What do you think? It's a musical prayer. That's very nice. Good. I like that. Good. What else? Any, when you hear the word spiritual, how about, can you name a spiritual? Can anybody name if I said give me what a spiritual is, a kind of spiritual in song? What's Amazing Grace? Good. What else? Yeah. Ride the Chariot. Sure. What else? Yeah. I'm hearing a lot of great things. That's all right. Yeah. What? My Lord, What a Morning. Exactly. Perfect. So we already heard a spiritual this morning. My Lord, What a Morning. And the spiritual that our youth choir is about to sing is called Mary Had a Baby. And spirituals go along perfectly with what Michelle said, because they have a very literal text and a very literal meaning, but they're also in some way designed to communicate another message. So spirituals were sung often in the African-American tradition. It was music that was often performed by slaves while they were imprisoned and being forced to work. And while they were singing these songs, they were not allowed to organize protests. People who were slaves were not allowed to get together in any capacity and do anything that resembled a protest. But they were allowed to sing songs that fit in with the religion in the southern United States at the time. So if you sang a piece of music that was connected to the church, that was totally fine. But for the slaves, a lot of times these songs had other meanings. So when they would talk about the idea of going to another land, literally, they may be talking about going to heaven, or they may be recalling a story of from the Bible about going to Canaan or something like that. But they're often talking about actually being freed from their own slave situation and having personal freedom. So the song we're going to sing today has to deal with Mary having a baby, and it tells some of the life story of Jesus. And some people believe that this is literally true, and some people believe that it teaches us a lesson. And for the people who sang this song when it was first sung, perhaps their oppressors felt as though they were singing about the literal story, when in fact they may have been singing about something more. So I encourage you to listen to this piece.
Thank you.
Our sermon this morning will be a slightly different style than what you're used to, but I hope it's something that you enjoy. So this morning, our goal is to explore Mary, the person, the figure, the idea, in different religious traditions. And we picked some religious traditions that fit with some music that we wanted to share with you all this morning. Both Jesus and Mary are seen by historians as actual historical figures who lived in the Middle East, but we know that the world's many religions view these two historical figures differently from one another. As today is Mother's Day, and Mary is historically and religiously the mother of Jesus, we hope to share the ways in which just a few of the world's religions view this mother, and we'll reflect on how reverence for the concept of motherhood permeates most of the great religions of our time. In each of these reflections, we will include a piece of music in the language of that tradition about Mary and about the concept of motherhood. We started this morning with a lighter prelude, for those who heard it, with members of our youth choir singers playing on their instruments, Mary Had a Little Lamb. It was a piece that they had done in rehearsal a couple of times and wanted to bring to our service about Mary, so I had them share it with you this morning. That piece and the story that goes with it are based on an actual incident that took place in 1830. Does anybody know where? Yeah, right in Massachusetts here, in Sterling, Massachusetts. That's right. And as I was looking online, it was has been co-opted by many a minister to use in a Christmas story some other kind of connection about Mary having a lamb, giving birth to Jesus. The truth is that it was not, as far as I could find, written that way at all, but we wanted to share it with you this morning in any case. You've also heard from the tradition of the African-American spiritual, which often used songs with texts about Mary and Jesus to represent the hope that they would experience freedom from their bondage and oppression, either literally in this world or in the world to come. Many of us in the United States are more familiar with a Christian view of Mary, so we'll start this section of our service with a look at Islam. While Jesus is not considered divine in the Quran or in Islamic tradition, he is considered a prophet and is certainly a very important religious figure. Despite the fact that Jesus is a less holy figure in Islam than he would be considered in Christianity, Mary is mentioned more times in the Quran than she is in the New Testament. She is considered to be a saint in Islam, and her life's journey is chronicled in detail in Muslim literature. Mary's mother, Anne, prayed that her child be guarded from Satan, and Islamic tradition states that the only children born without the touch of Satan in history were Mary and Jesus, a belief that closely resembles the Christian interpretation of the Immaculate Conception, which we'll hear more about a little bit later on. The concept of Jesus in Islam is also a similar story to the Christian version, with an angel named Jibril, which is a translation of Gabriel, assuring Mary that her son's virgin birth will be, quote, a sign for mankind. The events of the birth of Jesus differ from Christian tradition, with Mary initially bringing Jesus to the temple, where she is ridiculed by people who do not believe her virgin birth story until Jesus performs his first miracle by speaking in the cradle. So this is something different from our Christian traditional view. The Quran states that Mary has been chosen, quote, above the women of all nations, and religious commentators in Islam have remarked, based on this line, that she is as close to a perfect woman as could be, making her, in the eyes of some Islamic scholars, the greatest woman of all time, despite Islamic reverence for other female figures like Khadija and Fatima. That Mary's story is so connected to the idea of birth and motherhood is a critical reason why she is seen as such an important figure in the Islamic tradition. Her willingness to serve God or Allah is not only bravely giving birth to Jesus, but also raising him, and that's critical to why she is considered such an important figure. The song we're about to sing for you is based on Islamic tradition. It's called Hazrat Bibi Maryam, and it's written in Arabic by Zuleika, who is a Westerner who lived in Afghanistan and was influenced by the respect her Afghanistani neighbors showed for Mary while she was there. She says of her song, quote, "This is a peaceful greeting song, which is an invitation to open the window of your heart and let the sunshine of kindness flow through." There's a translation printed in your order of service so that you can follow along. And the piece this morning will be conducted by Tyler Plaskin, our music intern for the year. We now move into the realm of Christianity to explore Mary's position in the Orthodox tradition. Orthodox Christianity is the third largest branch of the Christian tradition, after Catholicism and Protestantism. While we often refer to something like Greek Orthodox or Russian Orthodox tradition, they are actually of the same family and differ not so much in doctrine, but more in cultural populations and traditions, their connection to a specific people who participate and celebrate in a certain church. Mary is an important figure in Orthodox Christianity as well, being given the title Theotokos, I hope I said that right, or God-bearer. Mary is considered to be the Ark of the New Covenant because she carried the New Covenant in the form of Jesus. The concept of a virgin birth is also a tenet of the Orthodox Mary story, with Orthodox believing that she was not harmed during the birth of Jesus and remained forever a virgin. Mary is honored above all other saints in the tradition for her cooperation and allowance of God's work to be done through her. She is considered holy but not a deity. Again, in this religious story, we see the power of motherhood. Mary is praised not simply for being chosen and acting as an inanimate vessel for God's Son. Instead, she shows a willingness and cooperation in taking part in God's calling, where she could have said no or made another choice. Mary decides that she will take on all of the hardships of being a mother for the good of the world, and cooperates with God to bring Jesus into that world. That she is praised for bringing her humanly motherly gifts to this story in a way that was not predetermined, she had to give her permission and her blessing for that to actually happen, shows the importance placed on those who are mothers in the Orthodox faith, who bring their own humanly motherly gifts to those children. And I found, in terms of looking at some of these various religions, that words like mother, brother, and particularly in Orthodox tradition, when they talk about Jesus having brothers, it's written in the scripture a bit, and they're often, that's been determined to mean brother in an informal sense, to mean part of a larger family, not a blood relative brother. And so terms like mother and brother often refer to people who create them, as opposed even necessarily to people who are specifically a literal mother or brother of someone, which I thought was interesting. The piece we're going to perform for you is from Sergei Rachmaninoff's All Night Vigil. Has anybody ever heard this piece before in its entirety? No, maybe we'll do it at FPC someday. It's commonly referred to as Rachmaninoff Vespers. The piece that we're singing is called Bogorodice Devo. It's in Russian, and there's a translation printed in your order of service. The text is very similar to the Catholic Ave Maria. It's a Hail Mary text, but not entirely the same, and it serves as a song of praise to Mary.
So in Catholicism, we see another similar yet distinct view of the Virgin Mary. Mary was referred to as, quote, the Mother of God, as early as the 3rd or 4th century in Latin writings from the Catholic Church, implying not only an early connection to the notion that Mary is related to God or important in some way in the birth of Jesus, but also demonstrating that the concept of motherhood is once again seen as an important and spiritually deep part of the Jesus story that forms the basis for the Catholic tradition. Catholics, like Orthodox, draw a distinction between veneration of Mary and worship of her. While these religions forbid the worship of any being other than God, veneration of saints and other important religious figures is allowed. Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, who later became Pope Benedict XVI, said of venerating Mary, quote, "It is necessary to go back to Mary if we want to return to that truth about Jesus Christ, truth about the Church, and truth about man." Mary is celebrated on her own feast days called Marian devotions, and Catholic heads of the Church and religious scholars alike have long placed her near the top of the list of important religious figures in the Church. As Marian services and devotions became more and more popular in the Catholic Church, praise for the concept of motherhood in the Catholic tradition began to come into greater focus. Since faithful Catholics could not directly perform acts of consecration to the Virgin Mary, the Catholic Church reminded followers that these devotions were allowed as long as their consecration was, quote, "expressed in a correct liturgical manner to the Father through Christ in the Holy Spirit, imploring the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, to whom we entrust ourselves completely, so as to keep our baptismal commitments and live as her children." In other words, while Mary is not a divine being, her motherhood gives her a direct connection to the child she created and to all of the Catholics that follow, making her worthy of consecration. Her sacrifice in the birth of Jesus brings her close enough to God that she may be an appropriate vessel through which one could reach God or Jesus in a prayer, which is a rare status for a non-deity in the Catholic Church. Pope John Paul II said, quote, "Mary's motherhood is a gift which Christ himself makes personally to every individual. In this way, mothers and children share a bond like the one Jesus shares with humanity in the Christian and Catholic tradition." Our final anthem is called O Magnum Mysterium, and it is about the great mystery of the birth of Jesus, the Immaculate Conception. The text is in Latin and comes from an old Catholic traditional text, and once again, the translation is printed in your order of service. As you can see from your order of service, our last stop here is to take a look at Unitarian Universalism, which is a little bit of a tricky challenge. We've seen how different religious traditions treat the Virgin Mary, ones with doctrines and people from the top leading the way in terms of policy and historical memory. But how do Unitarian Universalists deal with Mary? Like many other matters of religious doctrine in our wonderfully diverse church, the answer is in a wide variety of ways. The first question is one that might even start up a spirited debate, which you can continue at coffee hour. Are UU's Christians? I've seen robust debates in person and online about this topic, essentially stemming from the definition of Christian. Unitarian Universalism today does not require anyone to conform to a set of standard beliefs, for example, a belief that Jesus Christ is God. However, many of the teachings we hold dear in our UU faith, including the basis for a number of our seven principles, come directly from the teachings of Jesus. So if, as a faith, we don't require belief in the divinity of Jesus, but we do promote some of the same direct teachings and philosophies of Jesus, does that make us Christian? And what does this mean for the way we see Mary as a church? While these debates can continue, the beauty is that we're all invited to take our own personal feelings and beliefs into account when we hear the stories of Mary. Perhaps you believe the stories of the virgin birth are literally true. Maybe you take some important lessons from the experience of Mary in the temple told in the Quran, or in the Catholic and Orthodox concepts that motherhood is to be celebrated as a connection to an idea of the divine. You might see concepts of motherhood playing a key role in how we need to care for our earth, or for the interdependent web of life. Whether you take these stories as literal history or as text that demonstrates a lesson, I hope we can all take some time on Mother's Day to recognize the importance of the concept of motherhood throughout the ages, in both a literal and figurative sense. Rather than being a forgotten figure, Mary is elevated in all of these traditions. Not just because she is a simple player in the story, but because of what she gave, because of what she was willing to do, and how she raised and cared for Jesus throughout his life. This is, as Mary Harrington said in our opening words, a love we cannot live without, no matter where we consider the source in our own lives, be it from a direct mother or from mother figures. Thanks to Mary, and on this Mother's Day, thanks to mothers everywhere. Let's conclude these thoughts by singing a closing hymn from our own UU hymnal number 91, Mother of All. Please rise as you're able and sing along.
And for
Please be seated.